Now, on BBC One, Screen One presents an unusual and sometimes disturbing film marking Halloween. Over the centuries, there have been countless reports of ghosts and ghouls, but the line between fact and fiction has always been unclear. Using the modern idiom of the outside broadcast, Michael Parkinson, Sarah Green, Mike Smith and Craig Charles star in Ghost Watch.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Shonky Lab. I'm Elton, and joining me is my guest producer, Lee.
Hello, Elton. You all right?
I am fine. I feel like I should be in a studio for this, because this is a very important episode.
It is. It really is.
You're excited for this one, aren't you?
I'm excited, but I think for the first time in ever doing a Shonky Lab, I feel a weight of... not expectation, because we obviously haven't told anyone that we're going to do this, but like, you can't fuck it up. It's got to be gold,
because this true. This is
important.
Word. I hadn't thought about that. Oh my god! Let's bail now. Let's save it for next year.
We're done. We're done. Excellent. Yeah, we'll get some competent people on next year.
It should be. Hang on. It should be next year, because it's like the. Is it a 30th anniversary next year?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, so we're doing the 29th anniversary, which is everyone's doing now, aren't they?
We are years ahead.
Yeah.
Specifically, year ahead.
365 days ahead of everyone else. Losers.
Yeah, ahead of our time.
So when everyone's doing it next year for the 30th, we're like,
done that. Well, no, that's when you can like get people on that know what they're talking about.
I could.
Or you can go, done it.
But we all know what I'm like, and I would love to do it in July and August and have it all pre-prepared, ready to go, and have my Christmas show all sorted as well in September, and have my summer shows sorted in the winter. But no, that's not going to happen. I haven't done it for the last 13 years, and so it's not going to happen now. It's not going to start now, definitely.
That's not how Shonky Lab rolls, is it?
No, not one bit.
That's why everyone loves it. I'm going to say everyone. I mean the people that download it.
The tens of people that download this. Thank you. I could actually go around and handshake each and every one of you.
And you have. Won't. In the past.
I probably have. Probably cuddled most of them as well. And bought them drinks, and they've bought me drinks.
Yeah. Anyway, we're making this sound... In the good old days. We're making it sound like this isn't important.
Yeah, that's very true. So if you haven't read the synopsis for this episode, which I probably put one line into that, and you haven't seen the artwork and you haven't seen the title card, and you're really not sure of what time of year it is either, we are covering the 1992 BBC One extravaganza. Very important milestone in television making, in filmmaking, in my life as well. Ghostwatch.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get into it, our good friend Jim Moon has done this much, much better on a number of occasions over at Hypnagoria. So please head over there, listen to his review. And
Well, actually, before you do that, watch it.
Watch it,
especially if you haven't seen it, because there will be spoilers.
It's on the internet. It's on the internet archives for free. You can download it, or you can buy the DVD, as Mr. Lee Harvey did.
I did, yeah.
But then go listen to Mr. Jim Moon's versions of it. I think he's got it on Commentary Club and on Hypnagoria as well. Very early episode. And I flipping love it.
Well, luckily,
once you listen to that... Yep. Then come back and give our take on it.
Luckily, I haven't heard Jim's things, so I'm not going to be repeating him, because essentially he will have covered everything.
Yeah.
He's not deliberately repeating his work.
I know. So if any Jim Moon slips pop up in this, I do apologize already. And sorry, Jim, if you're listening to this in a court of law where you are suing the ass off me, I apologize profusely. But with that being said, Should we talk about Ghostwatch?
Let's talk about Ghostwatch. I mean, this is, like you said already, one of the most important things that ever happened. Just generally, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've seen it three times. Once was, I finished watching it about 40 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where I made all the notes. The other time was...
So your VCR is still cooling down. It is it still rewinding?
It is. Yeah, I had to wait for a couple of days to rewind it back so I could start again. So the other time was, Wednesday, so it was Monday.
Yep.
And the other time was when it was on TV in 1992.
Ah, okay.
When I was 12 years old.
Yep.
Because it was banned from being shown again.
It was banned because of various reasons? Because it was deemed to be scary.
Yes.
The general public and the media kind of took badly towards this because they felt like they'd been duped and tricked into actually thinking this was an actual thing as well.
Yeah.
So should we give like a round synopsis?
Yeah.
Okay, I will do my best. Basically, I'm going to read off the Wikipedia page. So,
it's like being on the Black Dog. Or not.
No, we don't do that on the Black Dog anymore.
Don't you? Oh.
Actually, no, I'm not going to read off that. I'm going to try and do it off the top of my head. So, cool. Ghostwatch was aired on the 31st of October, 1992.
Yep.
And it was promoted as a live TV event where the BBC would be going to a house. I forget where it was, but they go
Northolt,
to a house. Okay, thank
London,
you.
Yeah.
And it is the site of a haunting. And they have a family in this house where they are interviewing the family. They have a live feed to the house and they have a studio as well. So you have this show was fronted by Michael Parkinson. And he's a very famous person over in England. He's always been 50. He always seems to have just been 50 constantly. And he looks 50 in this. And even if you look at it now, he looks 50. But anyway, he's a very well-known presenter over in the UK. He's very trustworthy. Whatever he says, it is deemed as like the truth. Because
certainly then as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we had in the UK, we had four channels and satellite TV in 92 was very, very new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even think the Premier League had started by that point, had it?
No, that was 93.
Yeah, that was the thing that really kicked off satellite TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, you haven't got the media exposure. You don't see a lot of sort of American things like we do now.
Nope.
He was the big star. Everyone knew who Michael Parkinson was.
Yeah, he was the head honcho leading the program as well. He was the anchor, wasn't he?
Exactly.
And it was, he had a guest in the form of
he was playing himself, wasn't he? That was the big driver of why it was important that he was there. Because he was playing it as if he was the anchor to this thing.
That's right. I should have pulled up IMDb as well, but he had... another lady, which was a kind of scientist investigator, which was very interested in the paranormal. You also had Mike Smith in the studio. He was in like the phone booth part of the studio, taking live phone calls, or what we thought were live phone calls from the general public as we were watching this live show. Then
Mike Smith himself was a TV famous TV presenter and radio host.
Yes.
So he wasn't, it wasn't like nobody knew who he was either.
No, that's right. Very trustworthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have this barrier of trustworthiness coming through your screen. People, familiar faces that we all know and love. On the other side, in the live broadcast from the house, you had Sarah Green. Now, let's take a minute to remember Sarah Green. Right, Lads Mag is over now. Thank you very much. Sarah Green was out there. and she was your very trusting, familiar face. Once again, a children's TV presenter.
Absolutely. She was going live.
Going live, Blue Peter as well.
Yeah.
So she was a very familiar face to everyone in the family.
And married to Mike Smith in real life.
Yes,
which was a link in the show too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also with her, you had Craig Charles, which he was in Red Dwarf at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was still airing and showing very popular, wasn't it?
It was on Series 5 by that point. I had a look.
Okay.
And so still, you know, right in the wheelhouse of it being pretty good.
Yeah.
I think anyway. But
and so,
like you say, he was known. Everybody knew who he was.
Yeah. And so the studio would link up with the outside broadcast, and the outside broadcast would report back on their findings on the house. The activity of the house would build up over the night, and it would cascade into a big crescendo at the very end. Mm-hmm. When it was broadcast, there was a big warning at the very front. And
they said it was a... they said they gave a writing credit, didn't they? And they said that it wasn't real and it was part of Studio One, that sort of filmmaking.
It was a production. It was very clearly made. This was a production.
Well, but clearly not. Obviously not that clearly made.
Well, it was made at the beginning, and that's all you should have to do. If you miss the start of the program...
I think that was probably what actually happened, wasn't it?
I honestly don't know.
Because I don't remember ever seeing anything at the start of it that said it wasn't real.
I don't know. I couldn't honestly tell you if I came in late or if I saw it from the very beginning. I'm really not sure. Even if I had seen it from the very beginning, I'm very gullible. and that would have gone out of my head moments after that person had turned around and said, yes, this is a production. Please don't believe anything this is. There are no ghosts. This isn't a haunted house, and this is all make-believe.
Yeah.
And they cut to the outside house, and then I've forgotten it. That's it. It's gone.
That as well is, you know, you would have been settling down in your chair, or, you know, you just got a cup of tea or something, or some biscuits or something. You know, you're not paying attention at that point, are you?
No, that's right. So this was presented as it was meant to be a fictional thing. It was presented as a live TV broadcast. Do you remember anything about watching this live at all? Where were you? What was going on in the house? Did you record it? Because we didn't have DVRs or anything, did we?
No. It was all VHS at that point. Or Betamax, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly.
I was at my dad's house, which is in the spookiest of places, Sidcup. for American listeners, Sidcup is the least spookiest place on earth. And so my dad was there, my stepmom was there, and I was there, and like I say, 12 years old, and watched it. And I don't remember like specifics about the show so much, apart from a few sort of obvious things. Just remember being in that room, and then being terrified for ages afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, because you are a couple of years older than me, I think. So you'd still been at school though, right?
We were 5 miles away from each other. You know that. I was in Welling.
Yeah. I know you're from that area.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were very, very close.
But we didn't know that.
No, we didn't know that.
We've not met for decades afterwards.
And to be honest, you probably would have hated me if you'd known me then. And I probably would have hated you as well. So there you go.
It's the same now. It's the same now.
Yeah. I'm glad we can bond over this. Very briefly. And then the mics go off and you can screw yourself.
Put it down. Exactly. Until the next time you can't get anyone decent on to host anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know how this works.
Well, as long as you know, it's fine. It's good.
So that's what I remember. Yourself?
What do I remember? My dad was out at work.
Okay.
And I think it had been advertised a couple of times, and
Do you remember it being advertised?
I don't know if I remember it being advertised. I know it was advertised, but
we must have known it was coming.
Well, we settled down to watch it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I know that we settled down to watch it. So I probably did see it advertised and we was like, oh, that'd be good. And I was talking my mum into watching it. And she's like the biggest scaredy cat in the world because that's where I get it from. And my dad's not there. And he's definitely not a scaredy cat.
Right.
He's like, ghosts? Don't give a crap about that. Aliens? No, don't give a crap about it. It's all make-believe, blah, 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 blah. And you couldn't scare him in that respect.
Okay.
So but he was out. He was out working late nights. So it was just, I think my brother would have been around, but I don't know, maybe he'd gone to bed. So I would have been 14, so he would have been about 11. So he might have been upstairs playing Lego or what, but I'm not too sure.
Okay.
But I distinctly remember watching this.
So where does like your interest in wanting to watch it then? Because obviously you don't, you know, you're doing the Black Dog and things. You're not a massive fan of scary films.
No,
but
not.
You and I have both had conversations on and off Shonky Lab about ghosts and aliens and things.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're obviously interested. How does that tie together then?
I don't know. I'm not too sure. It is, I think at the time, maybe, imagine it, okay? So you're just getting back from school. Everyone at school is talking about it. I'm not saying this is happening, but this is a possibility. Everyone's talking about it. Oh, that program's going to be on tonight, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be great. Really looking forward to that. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the advert comes on. Look, this is going to be amazing. Mum, I really want to watch this. Okay, yeah, we'll sit down. And you know, it maybe on like a Saturday afternoon, bright sunshine. Yeah, that's not going to scare me. It's on the BBC. Yeah. They do Doctor Who, you know.
Yeah, because it was on after Casualty.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, okay. I've actually Googled earlier and found the Radio Times list for that day. And it was on after Casualty, which is normal and is still normal for a Saturday night and BBC One.
Still has Charlie in it.
He'll never leave.
No.
Where was I going with this? Yeah, but so...
I don't know why I would be interested in... It's one of them things where I hadn't learnt... And even if this sort of event was to turn up now, I would still be like, oh, yeah, let's watch this. And probably get to the point, oh, right, I really need to make a phone call. So I'm just going to disappear and make this phone call.
For an hour.
Yeah. I need to check something on the internet on my very bright screen. Brightness right up.
Brilliant. So, yep, because... I think, have we talked about those Osborne books that appeared in the sort of late 80s? They were aimed at kids.
The big white ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was ghosts and UFOs and monsters, and apparently there were some others, but I didn't have those.
Yes.
So I already had those. So there's obviously some interest in ghosts and spooky things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely then and am all over Halloween. Love it. You know, doing costumes, going trick-or-treating, all that stuff.
Okay.
So I can completely see why I would have been interested in watching this.
Yeah.
That would, even then, was right up my street.
Yeah. I remember the books. I never owned them. I didn't own them, but I got them from the library or my school library because they were doing the rounds in the school library. And there was another book that I always asked Jim about, and he always said, yes, Elton, here it is. It's this one. And he kind of has it ready because he always knows once or twice a year. I go, Jim, what was the name of that book? And he's like, here it is. Here's the picture. And it was a picture of a skull, and on the skull was ingrained the world map. And it was about ghosts and monsters and vampires and stuff like that. And it was one of these holy books in our school, which if you got hold of it, beautiful, just keep it, just keep renting it out and never let anyone else read it because it is the best book ever. And then one day you hand it back because it's been 6 weeks and there's seven people wanting to read this book. So you hand it back reluctantly, and immediately you're like, I want that back. And so you put your name back on the list.
You know, you've read it so many times that you know it word for word. But
kind of, yeah. I think I was more of a flicker for the pictures as well. So,
but, absolutely. In fact, my social media profile picture in October is from one of those books. It may be the same one.
Nice. That
there's a ghost head in the back of a car. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
Going on to Ghost. So, Ghost Watch. Hooray. Yeah, so definitely had an interest to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, I don't remember whether I knew that it was going to be fake. We must have done. You know, kids are not that stupid. But it certainly scared the life out of me. So I'm wondering whether I did think it was real.
Mm. Well, the thing that projects that this, you can be trusted in the people presenting, because you've got Sarah Green, because you've got Mike Smith, Craig Charles, Michael Parkinson, because you've got the going live phone number as well. So for people that don't know, the phone number that they used for this show, because it was projected as a live show, you could call in with your mysterious things and if you've seen anything on the TV. And so it was promoting itself as an interactive show where you could join in and be part of it as well. And that is part of the hook that people are phoning in for this.
Yeah.
They used the number from which was a basic bog standard BBC number, which was 0818118181.
Yeah.
Beautiful number. I kind of want that on my tombstone.
I was going to say, you probably would have, if I'd have said to you, what was the going live number? Without seeing any of this, you'd remembered it.
Well, we've had this discussion many a times on and off, and I've posted about the numbers.
It's almost like we're just doing the same show over and over again.
It is. If I ever get a tattoo, I just want the going live number tattooed. That's it.
Oh, fantastic.
If I get drunk at a meetup, let's go get a tattoo, and I want on the going live number.
Where would you do it? On your head?
No, it's somewhere where I can definitely cover it over.
Just in a private place, just for you.
Yeah, just for me. On moments.
Oh,
my eyelids. But that was part of the the ritual of bringing you in. You can trust this program. We're not going to screw with you because we're the BBC. We're not going to play any tricks on you. Why would we play tricks on you?
Of course not.
And I think they ended up with, during this show, as it was going on, people were invited to phone this number. Mm-hmm. And if they'd seen anything, either on the footage that they'd been showing, or if they had any other ghost stories that they wanted to share with the studio audience, the studio. And they ended up having 20,000 to 30,000 phone calls during this show, which blocked and shut down the phone lines.
Yeah.
Now, BBC had set up a system where you would have an answer machine. You wouldn't get through to the live studio because it wasn't live. It had been recorded like 5 weeks before. But you would get through and there would be an answer phone message saying, oh, this is, thank you for joining in on the live performance tonight. I can't remember what it actually said, but it would basically lay it down in print. This is fake, but please give us your stories.
Yeah.
But when you have 20 to 30,000 people trying to ram down that, it got bottlenecked and people couldn't get through, which probably panicked people as well, because that wholesome number, oh my God, the number's gone down. What's happening? Oh my God.
Well, because weren't they getting an engaged tone? So when, you know, you did boop, 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 you can't get through because it's engaged.
Yeah.
So that was the normal experience using that number, because I think they used it for Crime Watch as well, and for going live and for whatever they had, they used the same number.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to get in, as I'm sure you may have even done to try to get on going live, so many people called it only took so many. You got the engage tone. So I when tried people to get through rang,
to take that.
Yeah, how did
no,
it go?
Not really. No.
Oh, there was the Jason Donovan pictures on the wall. I noticed that in the show. I mean, not in my room.
Your Jason Donovan poster has started to fall off, is it?
It's you need just to, flown across the room.
You need incredible. To stand up and push the blue tack back in.
Oh, what was I saying? Yeah, so like if you tried to get on to going live, you get the engage tone. So all these people rang and it just added to the belief that this was live and real because they couldn't get through because it was just the engage tone.
Right. And so, yeah, it progressed, didn't it? So you had this live scene of Sarah Green being there. By the way, I didn't realize how much I like Sarah Green. I probably did, but looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, I totally did. Oh yeah, man,
exactly the same because we're pervy old men.
Yeah,
that was the very first thing I picked up on as well. It's like, oh, she's white.
30 years ago. Yeah, she's a very hot lady now. I'll have you know. But oh my god. Yeah, Lads TV. Oh, it's kicking back in again, isn't it? Let's get off of this. Okay, Sarah Green, beautiful, hot. Yes, thank you very much. Well, let's move on.
I mean, she doesn't come in for a bit because they first... They sort of build it up exactly the same way that you would do a live broadcast of the time.
Yeah.
And I wrote in my notes today when watching it, you get that feeling, certainly in the first sort of 15, 20 minutes, like it's Children in Need or the ITV telethons. Remember those?
You know, yes, that they're setting the stages, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like this, you know, Michael Parkinson saying, this is what we're going to do. This is how the evening's going to work. And we've got this Mike Smith in our phone rooms. And then it goes to him and they talk to him. And then they go, oh, we've got our roving reporter, Craig Charles, and he does his thing. And it's all very lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, exactly how you would expect that kind of live TV event to work back then.
There's a format. They follow the format. Yeah. I should actually write the format down because, man, it works.
Yeah. You can probably find it online somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, that's another thing that can be trusted because it is something that you've seen before. It's just got ghost at the front instead of crime or bird.
Exactly.
Or house or country or whatever it is.
Exactly. But, and that's probably why even if people did see the thing that said it wasn't true,
mm-hmm.
you just forget it because you're involved with it, like you say, in a format you're used to, with people you're used to, and just going with it.
Yeah. And it's so cleverly staged outside. So you have the house, but then you have all these cables running back to a big outside broadcast van, I'm guessing. And that is the central hub. So you can see on these different cameras, you've got the camera crew, you're introduced to the camera crew and the sound crew, and they're the ones going to be following you around. The house has been littered with cameras in each corner. It's basically saying this is a found footage movie, but we haven't really established the genre of found footage yet.
Yeah. I mean... A lot of people have, you know, going up as far as sort of Derren Brown, that level of famous. There were rumours that the people who made Blair Witch were influenced by it, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. But certainly Derren Brown definitely said he was influenced to make things because of this show. And that sort of level of writer, so many people watched it. And, well, like both of us, it changed our lives.
Yep.
You know, and we haven't done anything with that. You know, the amount of people that have actually gone on to write things, books, films, TV, or just even just got into the horror genre because of this show. It just hit at that perfect time and was delivered absolutely perfectly. Like I say, watching it again this week, it is perfect. It's spot on.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing... You can't criticize anything about it. The only thing I thought of that it was missing would be a live studio audience. If you had that, it would have killed it. It would have been amazing.
That, yeah, that could have worked.
Because that's the only thing that those kind of live things had, I think, that this was missing. But apart from that, absolutely spot on.
And you could have thrown to the live audience, because there are some beautiful moments. Because we don't have DVRs in this time, and I know this conversation has had many times about this show, but it's our first time doing this show. So we have to talk about, we don't have digital video recorders. We don't have the instant playback. Whereas nowadays, we would, if this was put on, we would instantly rewind 30 seconds. We could watch it again. No, that didn't happen. Fast forward, catch up with live TV. We didn't have that. If you were recording it, there was no way you were stopping that VHS player to rewind it and have a look. You all had to wait until the end of the episode and then rewind it. And by then, everything's already kicked off.
One of the really beautiful things they did, which you reminded me, there's quite early on, they've got that shot, haven't they, of the like the old research footage in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And stuff's going on and things are flying out and the kids come screaming, running out of the room and things. And then other things go on. They introduce everyone. They do all this stuff. And then someone calls in, don't they, and say, there was a figure standing in the room.
I'm getting shivers down my spine.
Brilliant. That's one of the things that I remember from watching it originally.
Yeah.
And then they show the same, exactly the same scene again. Exactly the same. And there is obviously, clear as day, a figure standing in the corner of the room.
Yes.
That was not in the shot they did before.
That's true.
But Michael Parkinson and the science lady are just chatting away. It's like, oh, there's nothing there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hang on.
And you're like, okay. And then they rewind it back and watch it again. And he's not there. And there's no figure there. So you're thinking, did what? Yeah. Did I see that?
Did I see that?
What is going on?
I'm not sure. And I'm not sure. There was one moment where I distinctly remember it on the live time I watched it.
Same. And I think it was then, because I couldn't see again another time when it might have been.
No. There's two. Oh,
there's one right at the end with the door.
No, okay. When did you think you saw him, and when do you remember seeing him? Either this time round or last time round.
There was that one we just talked about with the shot early on. There was the door at the glory hole, which made me laugh a little bit.
Right.
Later on. You know which bit I'm talking about? Right near the end.
I think so. I think I missed it.
And there's one in the studio even more closer to the end as well.
Ah, yes. No, that isn't that halfway through?
Unless there's another one. Oh, yes, there is. Yeah, I just remembered. Yeah, things go dark or something and there's... Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, the ones I know of... I'll tell you the order in which I saw them. Okay, so the one where you see, and by the way, the ghost is supposed to be called Mr. Pipes, because we have children that are here and they're supposed to be communicating with the children and they're supposed to be hearing him and all the bangs and stuff like that. I'm sorry if I'm going all over the place on explaining this.
We did tell everyone to watch it first.
I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, so it is great, because their mum says, "Oh, it's just the pipes banging, isn't it?"
Yeah. So
that's why he's called Pipes.
When you cut to the studio and they say, "Oh yeah, we've had some phone calls saying we saw a figure," and so they do that and they show you two different scenes, don't they? That basically
they don't. They show you exactly the same scene.
Yeah, but with a ghost.
One has
one
a ghost
without.
In it, and the other doesn't.
Yeah. So they show you two different scenes, don't they? But one with a projected ghost on it and one without.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. Seeing that in 1992.
I do.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
There was one with Craig Chiles outside.
Oh, don't remember that one.
And he's interviewing people, and there's a mysterious figure. He flashes around, and it looks like a skull type face man, really weird. And I remember seeing that and me and my mum looking at each other going, what was that?
Was that when he was talking about the dead dog that kids found in the playground?
No, it was before then. I think okay. There was people, he was just interviewing people around the house outside that were just watching what was going on.
I might have to go and have a look at that again because I don't remember that.
Yeah. And it's like this weird skull type thing, and it's very creepy. And I remember seeing that on the live going, oh, what was that? There's also a moment when Michael Parkinson and Dr. Lynn Pascoe, or Pascal, Gillian Bevan, stand up and go over to her archive sound footage.
That's the one.
And in the background, you can see a ghostly figure.
Yeah.
Which is clearly, it's been done purposely just to screw with us. And the final one I remember, and I remember seeing this on the in 1992, there's a moment where it's all kicking off. The kids are screaming, the kids are running out of the room, and ghostly things are happening. And the cameraman pans the bedroom and he goes across the curtains where we've already seen a ghost. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of that is there someone standing there. And then he pans back. It's deliberate. It's obviously deliberate. The guy's gone, oop, jump up, jump down, gone. Yeah. But it's brilliant. And he pans back and he's gone. And you're like, mother.
Because what that does is you're then spending the whole time watching every single bit of Scream and not knowing what is going on.
It's so clever, isn't it?
It is. It's just the delivery is incredible of everything they do on this show.
The acting is brilliant. Maybe the doctor in with Michael Parkinson is a bit flat, and also the American counterpart on the Skype or
the
satellite
guy.
yeah But what they do brilliantly through this is it's slowly building up. There's also that moment where they show that they have the heat sensing cameras as well, and that's dropped off in the middle and used very well at the very end as well, isn't it?
Yeah, right. They sort of the whole thing is littered with mentions of something that they'll then come back to later on.
Yeah.
All the way through, they just drop these little hints, these little things that you've completely forgotten about, and then later something happens.
Basically, Chekhov's gun shop. Chekhov's guns everywhere, laying about, strewn all over the place, and here we are picking them up later on, firing them off. But there's what they do brilliantly is they build up lots of tension. You have bangs, you have crashes, you have little things that scare you, and Sarah Green's projecting that she's scared. And because she's scared, I'm shit scared. Because number one, she's scared, I trust her, and don't you dare hurt Sarah Green.
But they also, as well as building up like that, they also keep pulling you back again.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just not really sure at any point what is happening, what is going on. And again, that might be why lots of people fell for it, because it never got, you were never able to settle in a place where you knew it was serious or not, because it's constantly pulling you around. So they do a really serious bit, or they talk about some kind of something that happened in the past, something that was scary, or they'd have a caller that would tell the story or something. And then they'd go to Craig Charles jumping out of a cupboard in a mask. Or, they'd have somebody would call in with a hoax story or something like that. Or even in this, that it gets to sort of the hour mark, and then they have Suzanne, one of the girls, banging on the pipes herself.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing shifts, and it's like, okay, so this whole it's all nonsense.
Yeah, that was a peculiar moment. Oh, hang on a minute. I got dodgy. Hang on. Sorry. Yep. Okay. That's back. Sorry. I had a problem with the wire. And I've been having problems with the wires. So if you want to jump over to Patreon, which is patreon.com/rogue2media, chuck us a buck over there and I can go buy some more wires. Anyway, I'm going to carry on.
Yep.
Yeah, that moment with the kid banging on the pipes and banging in the cupboard. It's all of a sudden the show is reset, isn't it? You've had this very small tension slowly built up. You've had ghostly figures. You've had ghostly shapes as well in the shape of face-eaten man, whatever he was, that I saw in 1992. And then it resets with it could possibly be a hoax.
Yeah.
And you kind of breathe out. You're like, oh, it's just a kid just banging on pipes and doors and stuff like that. Just, it's all a trick. But that's where it starts to ramp, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets you to relax a bit.
Mm.
And then for a couple of minutes, and then it goes back to Mike Smith in the phones, and he's got like all this paper in his hand for people to call in. And he's getting really stressed out.
He starts with like two pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's like Principal Skinner, and he got trapped by his paper collection, and he just ended up bouncing the ball just to keep himself sane. He's got loads of paper. He's got, I've got this phone call and I've got this phone call, and they're all coming up with the same thing of a skull face and a woman in black, and you're like, oh.
That's right. Because then she has to go and get the video from the past of the interview with Kimmy say about how, you know, to describe the guy, and it's all the same as the phone calls. And then you're like, okay, right, we're back now. it's kicking off again now.
Can I also say, my daughter's name's Kimmy.
After the racing driver.
Yeah, after the racing, but let's get past that. Let's not get bogged down in that.
But she's named after the girl in Ghostwatch, right?
Yeah, she's named after the girl in Ghostwatch. But
because calling her Pipes would have just been weird.
It is her middle name, but let's skirt around that as well. Having my daughter's name screamed out and shouted and, Kimmy, Kimmy, Kimmy. And when she's calling her Kim, I'm like, no, her name's Kimmy. But that's just my problem. But that immersed me even more this time round. I still found it an incredible watch this time round.
Seen it again? Sorry, did you say earlier? You'd only seen it twice then?
I've only seen it twice. I saw it on the original airing and I saw it on Monday night. And the moment where Sarah Green starts to have interruptions and static and white noise on the cameras and something's going a bit wonky, that's where I was like, right, I need a break. I need to stop this. I need to take a deep breath because now it's starting to kick off, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I needed to calm myself down. Even though I knew this was totally fake, I was still getting drawn into this. It is beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that shows the strength of it, really. Because if we're both saying about the influence it had and how much we loved it, excuse me, and we've seen it once before this week, once ever, compared to, you know, we can talk about Aliens, which we must have seen 1,000 times each.
Yep.
And yet, this one time, 30 years ago. It's wonderful. I don't really know any other word to describe it. It's really bad reviewing, isn't it? It's like those in the sort of Black Dog when you sort of struggle with really good films.
Yeah, and you just end up quoting it. But
exactly. But it, I mean, it was. You ever heard of the Enfield poltergeist?
I have, yes. Yeah. And I have to admit, I've never dived into it because as soon as you say that stuff, because I know where Enfield is and I know what poltergeists are, and putting them together, I don't want to go anywhere near Enfield.
It's all right. Both your kids are old enough now. It's fine.
Right.
You've gone through that time.
Oh yeah, wasn't it kids in there as well? And they weren't too sure. Very similar line, wasn't it?
It's mostly sort of pre-teens, they think. That's what a lot of parapsychologists say about poltergeists.
Mm-hmm.
But this story, so I knew nothing about that at the time. Nothing whatsoever. It's only from being into all weird stuff since. And I've never really looked into that particular story either. But I've heard and read a lot of things that refer back to it to know enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to, in a way, that if you've watched enough Simpsons, you can know what happens in many films without having to watch the film.
Ah, okay, because I quoted it so many times.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So this story, the Ghostwatch thing, leans very, very heavily on that. Very, very similar. Like, there's one where they show a photograph and there's all the things flying around the room.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of photographs that have been taken of these girls in real life from the Enfield thing. And that's probably why they had it in Northolt as well, in sort of Greater London.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
With the Enfield poltergeist, isn't there one where one of the kids is supposed to be levitating?
Yes, that's the one.
It's really a kid jumping around on its bed.
Something like that.
Right.
Because even that whole bit about her faking it, banging the pipes and things, that comes from lots of different sort of poltergeist stories or reports.
Okay.
That and the parapsychologist in Ghostwatch even refers to it to say, you know, it goes through that stage of people feeling they need to fake it in order to get people to believe them.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
So all of that, everything running the whole way through Ghostwatch comes from particularly that Enfield haunting, but poltergeist tales in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's all anchored to actual things that have, in quotes, happened.
Which worries me because I do get lots of knocking on my pipes. But that's another thing, because I would imagine, because it's end of October, it's that sort of, it's getting cold and the central heating's on now, and some people would be living in houses where you have the heating just kicking in and warming up, and you would go to bed or during the show, hear the banging and the creaking of the pipes as they're expanding and contracting, and it just, once again, adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah, especially 30 years ago as well.
Yeah.
You know, heating systems are going to be better now. But back then, there's a lot of old houses that hadn't been, you know, refurbished
for a while. Back boilers and such as well.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so flipping good. But also terrifying as well.
Exactly. I'm just looking through my notes here to see what I've got so much written down that I loved about it. That, you know, you can't see the wood from the trees, if you know what I mean. Just trying to pick something out that was fantastic.
What did
the line when Sarah Green says to the girl, "Are you okay? Have you got plenty of crisps?" That made me laugh. That's what made me think, well, that is the most Chonky Lab line in the entire
Have show. You got any hula hoops?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that would be messy, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. That would be the Chonky Lab version. Yeah. But I did, something else that made me smile about it is Michael Parkinson, certainly for the first hour, kind of just of, not dis... Oh, but he just sounds like... Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
you still there?
I am.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I think the internet just went there just for a second. Very, very strange.
I could hear you all the time.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, excellent.
Well, are you going through a tunnel?
I'm out now. Michael Parkinson. Yeah, he spends a lot of the sort of first hour being like he doesn't really give a shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, this is just a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's being professional, but kind of cutting her off and going, okay, right, now we've got to go over here. Or just going, mm-hmm, yeah. And then just moving on. Like he's not really bothered or he doesn't believe any of it. Or
especially when it's kind of proved as a hoax when the girls get caught. And even that, I know we've mentioned it a couple of times, but when the girl gets caught, it's creepy because you're on a hall cam and somehow it pans and down to a door lip and you're like, what the hell's going on there? And then it pans left and you then see the girl's face and her banging on stuff. But he is then shutting the doctor down almost every sentence, isn't he? He's like, well, look, it's clearly a hoax. They're clearly having us on and nothing is going on there.
Exactly. And that just all adds to what I was saying before, that idea of sort of confusion between is this real or not? Because Michael Parkinson's being Michael Parkinson.
He's being very dry, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you need that. I think you need that because you then have the yin yang of Craig Charles being an absolute goofball outside. Craig Charles being Craig Charles. And I'm not too sure if people liked him as much as they did or not. I think he was one of them people that you either really liked him or you couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
And in my house, we liked Red Wolf, so we loved him. We had no problems in that. But that is like the yin yang with the dryness of Michael Parkinson. And then you have Mike Smith, who's the worried husband watching what's going on to his wife.
Yeah.
And he can see all these stories coming in. And he has a slight air of caution about himself. He's there. He's almost reading these things going, I shouldn't be believing this, but Michael, this has just come in and I don't really want to tell you this, but I'm worried about hyping things up. And
he's kind of like us in that, in he's seeing a bigger picture
mm-hmm.
that Michael Parkinson isn't seeing.
Yeah.
So he's constantly, you know, are you sure? Because this... You know, that kind of different idea of what's happening to keep it just on edge. So you're not really sure.
What about the phone calls that they do actually take? Because there are a couple, aren't there?
Yeah, they're all, again, very, very cleverly placed
mm-hmm.
in the information that it leaves throughout the show. Because it sort of starts off, doesn't it, like you get somebody who's saying like, oh yeah, I used to live in a place and there was a ghost and it was bad.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. That's what she says. And Pam, the mother, they've got her in the studio at that point. Or she's got a studio link by that point.
Yeah, weird idea to take her away from her children, leave them in the scary house and put her in a booth in the van, the outside van. Very strange.
Well, they had the Sarah Green and the crew were in there.
Yeah.
So weren't completely,
and you would
their
leave
own.
Your kids with Sarah Green as well, wouldn't you? Because you trust her.
Of course. But I think that was done as a, you know, a story reason to get her out. So they mm-hmm. could do other things with the kids, which is fair enough. So the phone calls start off really simple like that. And each time it adds a little bit more. And it's the same with what Craig Charles does outside of the house too. Yeah. They add a little bit more to the layers of the story of the house and the area
mm-hmm.
until you get to the final one. where he's going, the bloke rings up and says, you know, do you remember these people that used to live there? And she's like, yeah, we know all about them. We've got all the history of everything. And yeah. He says, did you know they sublet the room? And she's like, no. And then he goes to tell the story, doesn't he, about the guy.
Mr. Pipes himself,
yeah,
isn't it?
Who hung himself and all the things. But each story builds up some evil thing that happened in that area.
That's one thing I wanted to hear. I didn't quite grasp again, and I'm a bit scared to go back and listen to, because I know that there's a little bit more. Well, the final call, because there are some moments with Sarah Green running around the house doing the roving reporter that we've seen so many times on BBC, with the camera crew following the lead lady around wherever she is. Mm. And we've seen that a million times on BBC, right? Yep. Look, Challenge Annika and other things like that. And she's running around. There's a moment where she finds the pictures that the kids have drawn, the creepy children pictures that they've drawn of Mr. Pipes. You're like, fucking hell, that's creepy. Yeah. And then they're
they're in a line, aren't they, on the floor?
Yeah, they're in a line on the floor, and you can hear cats. You're like, there's creepy ass cats. Nowadays, it would be like baby noises, like Blair Witch at the end, like the type baby noises. But then she's startled by a cat. You're like, oh, it's all right, it's just a cat. She was startled.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought, but it is slowly building up like that, isn't it?
Yeah, because they keep dropping those cats in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no link to it. There's no reason for it.
And then that caller comes in.
Yeah, I've got goosebumps on my legs. talking about.
I've got goosebumps all over my back. If we could cuddle, I would be cuddling you right now.
But, at least you're not in an ancient house on your own.
No, it's true.
With dodgy pipes.
I still have dodgy pipes.
Okay.
But the call that comes through, the one that really tickles me, is that one where they say about the subletting of the room, or I'm not too sure, but
yeah, it's a nephew or something. He was from a released from a psychiatric hospital.
That's it.
And the guy's saying he should never have been allowed near anyone,
and he committed suicide, but he was locked in that room that we've already been shown on TV, which is boarded up.
Yeah.
And as soon as you see that boarded up door, you're like,
the glory hole.
Yeah. Oh my god, something's gonna kick off there. We know it's gonna kick. You might as well just have a big red sign saying this is the end level.
Yeah.
But you don't have the key just yet.
No.
But the story, I can't remember the story verbatim, but the person killed himself, but he got locked in there, but he had cats with him.
It's that he claimed that he was being, he had some kind of force or personality or something inside him. It was like there was a woman that was making him do things, dress in certain ways. And his aunt and uncle went away on holiday. And he hung himself in the basement down the stairs.
Right. Okay. That makes a hell of a lot more sense.
But he had 12 cats and they were locked inside.
And I love what that caller says. They did what they had to do. They hate him. Which leads back. So you now have a vision of someone gnawing on like a mauled face. And if you go to the Ghost Watch Wiki, and run down there, about halfway down, there's that the ghost and the supernatural depictions.
Mm-hmm.
This guy called Keith Ferrari, he was dressed up as Pipes. He was the man who played Pipes. And you can see all like the blood and the scratches on his face and the sunken eyes. That I think that's the face that I saw when Craig Charles was outside. Briefly.
I have to go back and have a look for that.
It's definitely there.
Yeah. I don't believe you.
But I think it's a beautiful move.
And because a lot of the people are sort of wearing Halloween costumes and things as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you probably like wouldn't spot it. And,
yeah.
And if you did, you'd be like you going, what was that?
And what they also do, you have it kick once it starts ramping up again and Sarah Green and her outside broadcast start losing transmission.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where I think they start hearing sounds like the cat sounds coming from the glory hole.
Yeah.
And so they try to open it. And then he gets knocked out. I think that's where you see the face, isn't it? Or the person or whatever it is.
Yeah, so it starts to open, doesn't it? Very slowly.
Yeah.
And you just get a glimpse of that guy standing there. And then it's slam shut or they pan away because the mirror has fallen onto the sound guy.
Yeah, knocks him out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they panned. I keep saying panned when I mean zoom and move and stuff like that. I keep saying people direct. Steven Spielberg's listening to this and going, no, it's not pan. Not everything is a pan. I understand that. But there is a moment where it's rattling, the mirror on the wall is rattling, and that's just foreboding something's going to happen with this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But what they do with that is very powerful because things are kicking off inside the house.
Yeah.
And the sound man has been injured. And it all goes off screen. And so you cut back to the studio and they're like, my word, you got Mike Smith going, what's going on with my wife?
Because you have like, because they lose the transmission, don't they, from the house.
That's it, yeah.
And it cuts to Craig Charles and he's just chatting to that bloke. And then suddenly he's like realizing, oh, we're on. And he carries on doing his thing. But they've also got the sound from the studio of Mike Smith and everyone talking.
Yeah.
And he's saying, like you say, get the screen back, you know. What's going on?
But they're saying they've just got normal feed. Everything sounds fine from the van outside. Yeah. They're not. It seems serene outside, whereas inside the house, things are kicking off. But to the studio, they have an old feed because the picture on the wall hasn't fallen off yet.
That's right.
So good.
But I've just seen a note that I've got written here about the sort of slow build of it all. Because I marked down at 42 minutes. Nothing had really happened by that point.
Yep.
So that's nearly halfway through.
Yeah.
And there's nothing apart from the shot that you saw with the ghost. But that was an old shot. But live, inverted commas, live, nothing's actually happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, they're still dropping the seeds of things. So clever.
Yeah.
so good.
And I know as a kid and as an adult now,
yeah,
I'm still not picking up everything. I think as a kid, when I saw that creepy face outside and where I saw it all pan across and you think you see a ghost, I'm terrified at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's still like another stage to go,
yeah,
where they have to go down into the dungeon, don't you?
I
was getting really, even this viewing, there's a moment where Sarah's looking for Kimmy as she's running around the house and she's behind the fridge. I'm like, what are you doing there? That's crazy.
Because right, they go into the kitchen, don't she, and the her toy rabbit, because the sink is running.
Yeah.
So she goes to the sink and the toy rabbit's just lying in the sink.
Drowning.
Yeah. And you're like, what? What? What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And then she hears a noise behind her and goes to the fridge. And you're like, oh, it's fine. She's there.
Yeah.
Behind the fridge. Because that's the other thing about the call that they get at the end. And it's kind of hinted at a little bit through it.
Okay.
The bloke says about the guy who hung himself, about how he was convicted for child molestation and kidnap of minors and things like that. Bad stuff, basically. Mm. And that kind of evil is hinted to all the way through it, because they talk about the woman who used to look after children but murder them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that woman in the playground mentions, you know, there was a 5-year-old kid that was stabbed around that area.
And a dead dog as well.
Yeah, and the dead dog with all the fetuses everywhere. Because it was pregnant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was like, yeah, the kids weren't right for weeks after that.
So do we think the woman... I'm not too sure. Whether
well, she was... So the parapsychologist at the end was sort of like, as everything's starting to fall into place for her, she's like, oh, we, you know, this could have been evil that's been there for hundreds, thousands of years, you know, right back to prehistory. And then it starts dawning on her that they've made this huge seance, this nationwide seance, because Mike Smith is getting his phone calls saying, you know, dogs are barking in Derby and someone's microwave won't stop pinging and everyone's clocks have stopped and stuff like that. And at this point,
I'm getting freaked out now.
Yeah, at this point in the real world, people are ringing in and they can't get through. So they're like, fucking hell.
Yeah, oh my God, the real. Going live number doesn't work. Yeah. Everything's going shit.
Michael Parkinson's possessed. Yeah.
Oh, it would be like that though.
It was.
Yeah. But to believe a safe house number like that and you can't get through, my God, we can't get through. What do we do now? Phone the police. We can't get through to going live.
But it's just that, as we said before, the use of the real life actors, not actors, personalities, and this, I think the simple setting of it as well. It's not like, you know, if they were like most haunted do and they go to some creepy old mansion, you'd be like, yeah, all right. But it's just a house. There's nothing different. It's just a council house.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as anyone watching the show would know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the main four. And when I say the main four, I mean Michael Parkinson, Sarah Green, Mike Smith, Craig Charles.
Yeah.
So we know Craig Charles is an actor, but he also did a bit of the presenting as well. Do you remember? He used to do Robot Wars, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's done live presenting, yeah.
Yeah, but he has that ability to do the acting, so that's fine. He can do that, and he does the comedy stuff very well, and also the annoying comedy stuff, because he's very over the top at the very beginning, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I think he makes a very, very left-field joke I can't remember exactly what it was about being on drugs. And he's like, well, really? That feels a bit odd. But okay, let's run with it anyway. Mike Smith.
Craig Charles does, on a few occasions, come across as a bit creepy. Because, like you say, he makes that joke. He makes some other joke about Sarah Green later on.
Does he?
About loving her or something.
Oh, okay.
Or he's just being very weird. There's a bit when he sort of pushes a kid out of the way.
That's right.
and then it cuts away. Yeah. But so I know he often got in trouble for things in the past, Craig Charles.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of those things had come out around that time and they were just playing into that to make it a bit more realistic, maybe. Or maybe he had a reputation for being a bit of a knob. I don't know.
I think so. I don't think he's a knob. I know he has been in trouble, but it was all proven. All the allegations were quashed, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But up until this point, I think he was just one of them presenters where it was, you really do enjoy what he does, or it really gets up your nose.
Yeah.
And there is no in between with him. At
no.
all. But who else? Sarah Green. I didn't know this, but she'd done acting. Or I'm not too sure if she's done acting on Trod the Boards or what, but she's very comfortable in front of the camera anyway, doing live stuff.
Yeah.
She's done that before. And same with Mike Smith and Michael Parkinson. They've all done the live stuff. And Craig Charles. So they know how to massage that live performance. And sometimes it is just a performance because you know what you're going to do. You kind of learn your cues, what you have to hit, but you can improvise it as you're going along. And that's what they're doing. They're improvising. Yeah. They're also acting, but they're also doing their job. If they were told, right, you are now on a boat and you have a murder going on, just help us along with this. And they would, you know, that they would all be able to drop into their relative roles and work. It's just a different scene that they're working with.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, do this as if it were actually live.
Yeah.
Do what you
treat
do.
It as being live, but instead of it being bird watching, it is ghost watching.
Yeah. But that all really comes across,
mm-hmm.
which helps to suck everyone in even more.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the family? How did you feel that they were portrayed, like the mum and the kids?
So I don't remember much from the time. I think a lifetime since of, you know, watching films and child actors and things, there was a few times when you could see, okay, yeah, that they are kids acting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was, I've seen worse, definitely. And I don't think it took me out of it, really.
No.
I certainly wouldn't think if you'd watched it originally, I don't think there's enough to really notice to make you think they were acting.
I think there's enough believability in the kids.
Yeah.
That you could turn around and one moment say, oh, that's bad acting. But
yeah.
Also, that is a kid who's trying to play up to a camera and trying to get their point across.
Yeah. Or even that there's just so much believability throughout it that you just kind of gloss over that. You know, it doesn't stand out enough.
Yeah.
How did you feel with it?
I didn't mind the kids. I think the older one...
The mother?
No, the kid.
Oh, right, yeah.
Got on my nerves a bit more. But I think that's because there was a moment where it was, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. And it just felt a bit stifled, a bit overplayed.
And she did come across a little bit Rada, didn't she?
I don't know what that means.
Rada's the like posh art school, acting school.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. Of course, dear. Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
But of course.
Of course, darling.
I'm not too sure. It's, like I said, sometimes it really hit home and sometimes it didn't.
Yeah.
But there was that moment when she was laying on the bed and they lifted up the covers from her face and there was some scratches all over her face. You're like, oh, and she had a 1,000-yard stare in her eyes as well.
Yeah, that bit was pretty good. Yeah. I was going to say, like, who are we, you know, 30 years later to start criticising child actors?
Yeah, I've got no... Look, it's brilliant. I cannot force it.
Absolutely. That was weird. And the voice. She has that little possessed voice thing.
Oh, she does. Yeah, she goes a bit possessed, doesn't she? Yeah.
And I liked at that point, because her mum's shouting at her to stop it. And then she sort of comes out of that trance.
Uh-huh.
And she's just saying to her mum, go, you know, go away. It's all your fault. And they keep hinting back to that it could be that they hate their mum, you know, because of broken family and things.
Mm.
And that it's all a hoax. And they're doing it on purpose. And even then, still, when you like, we know that this isn't a hoax, but, well, maybe it is. It's just so, every single bit in it is just perfectly placed.
Yeah.
The whole thing, I can't fault it at all. It's incredible.
I'm trying to think of other things. You have the kind of end scene as well, where I think Sarah Green disappears into that glory hole and the door slams, and it really does slam.
Yeah.
There's no bounce in it whatsoever.
Like, yeah.
It's a perfect possessed slam. That's what happens with doors. if I slam a door, it rattles a little bit. It thuds. It doesn't quite close. And you get that compression of air. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I wanted to slam this door, but I can't. But that, it slams open and it slams shut. Yeah. And she is gone. And it's like, Sarah, no.
Yeah, because the cameraman's like, what are you doing? Don't go in there.
Yeah. And she is drawn into there because there's a daughter in there, isn't there? And then I think it cuts back to the studio and you have all the rah, 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 what's going on there. And it's all kicking off there. Then you get the heat vision camera. And once again, now we are paying the price of having that early on for a brief moment. And here we are, we have the heat camera. And once again, how many times have we gone into a dark cellar or dark attic in films from the Blair Witch onwards where it's found footage, you're following someone, you either got the heat sensor or you got the night vision.
Yeah.
And it just adds an extra depth. I think they would probably go for the night vision because it adds a little bit more instead of having that predator heat type thing. But man, having cameras like that in 1992, I would love something like that. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, because even like proper sort of ghost hunting things or some of the more dodgy reality ghost TV stuff, they all do the same thing now. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
The same cameras, placing cameras around, putting heat sensors around.
Same shots as well, over-the-shoulder type shots.
All of it.
Yeah.
And this is why they were way ahead at the time, both in writing and putting together that kind of show, but also in knowing how parapsychology investigative things work. And what they do and how it works. And everything, you can't fault it. Everything you look at is just perfect.
Because it was of its time. Because I'm not too sure about cameras and the mobility of cameras, but I'm guessing that the size, they were becoming a bit more compact, so they're a bit more mobile, so you're able to get these over-the-shoulder shots.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't too far away from, well, actually, it's probably at that time, people were buying reasonably compact home video recorders, as in home video cameras, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd certainly been able to buy them before then, but they were quite big and bulky.
Yeah. And the BBC is able to put effects on them as well. They have that archive stuff. They have all the archive sounds and they just have... They're the best in the world at doing all this sort of thing, aren't they? They must have had such a good fun creating this.
Absolutely. I was reading before about how the cast and crew were sort of having a big celebratory drink about it all because it got 11 million viewers. So if you think, that's probably about a fifth of the population at the time.
Yeah.
Just sat watching this show, and they were like, this is incredible. And the woman, the producer, came in and was ashen faced, and they was like, you know, what's wrong? And she said, no, the switchboard is jammed with like 30,000 people calling in. And they were like, just laughed at her. She's like, no, really? 30,000 complaints. And the BBC had to apologize about it all in the end.
Well, it kicked off, didn't it? The days after. I think it was on, was it Front Page News from then on?
Well, that was, we might as well talk about the aftermath now, I suppose.
Yeah, why not?
Gone that way. When I got back to school, so I was in London at that point. It must have been half term because it's usually around sort of Halloween, isn't it? End of October. So I was visiting my dad. So if that was a Saturday, I must have gone back home up north on the Sunday. Maybe the Monday, but everyone at school was just talking about that.
Right.
That was it, nothing else. And we were all absolutely terrified of it. So, yes, we were like 12 years old. 11, 12 years old, something like that.
Right. I don't remember talking about it after. I think it was only until the internet, and well, possibly when Jim Moon asked for people's opinions on Ghostwatch, and I was like, oh yes, I remember that. And I don't think I fed into that episode, but I remember it. And it that was the first time I'd heard anyone else speak about it up until that point.
Well, I think you were a couple of years older, so you're probably, you know, trying to be a bit more cool. None of your year group would have been like, yeah, I didn't watch that. It's for kids.
No, I don't think so.
Secretly, or you all watched it and you were all terrified. So you didn't want to admit it.
I honestly don't remember any reaction from anyone whatsoever. I don't remember any conversations about it or anything. I've probably spoken to friends briefly about it. Do you remember that thing which Sarah Green was in years and years ago? But no, I honestly don't. I remember watching it with my mum, and that is it. I think we even videoed it and then never watched it again. It was immediately recorded over. So that diseased tape was then removed from the pile. It's kind of burnt in a little pile. But
yeah, paper was put into the gap at the top so that you could record over it.
Yes. Yeah, sellotape was used.
Yep. Absolutely. And then it was burnt.
Yes. It was recorded over with EastEnders and Question of Sport and then destroyed.
Yeah, and Noel's House Party and got rid of.
Yes. And go.
So this is like 30,000 complaints. The front page news, people were angry that they, like you say, they'd been duped and they thought it was all real and that, you know, the BBC shouldn't do that kind of thing. And it even went to a inquiry.
Right.
Which is what I think forced the BBC to have to apologise. Because it was such a huge effect. And like we say, a fifth to a sixth of the population of Great Britain watched it. And it was only shown once. I think the BBC banned it themselves. They said that for 10 years.
They banned it.
Yeah.
I know a person. I'm very sketchy on the thing, but I know it says in the Wikipedia, and I've read it other places and I've seen videos on it as well. Some poor bloke committed suicide 5 days after.
That's right, yeah.
Because of PTSD from this.
Yeah, he left a note, something about if ghosts are real, then I am one or something.
Yeah, I will be one. Yeah.
And I think he had in that house, the radiators were banging, the pipes were banging.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So it deeply affected people. I think it was up for a BAFTA that year, and the BBC requested that they weren't put up for a BAFTA just because that was it. They'd done something. They probably felt like they'd pushed it a bit too far. I don't think they pushed it too far. They created something. They were being entertaining. They hit the nail on the head with this. They got lightning in the bottle, didn't they? This was before the big budget movies that have made gazillion amounts of pounds. They did it almost first. I can't think of another place that really did it first before this. And yet,
I mean, you have the Orson Welles. Is it Orson Welles? The radio show of H.G. Wells,
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that was in the 30s, was it? 30s or 40s?
I think so. And it's sort of a very similar ilk, isn't it? It was displayed as this is a show, blah, blah, blah. People came in late, and then I don't know. Once again, Jim Moon is tearing his hair out at us. Going, I've told you this a million times. You've got it wrong.
Yeah.
Go back and do your homework again.
Yeah. And if you don't, you're not having that book.
Yeah.
You can't look at it again until you've answered these questions correctly.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of. I know Inside Number 9 did a tribute to it a couple of years ago.
Right.
So that's the guys who half of the League of Gentlemen. You seen that? Reece Shearsmith and Mark Pemberton.
Right.
Mike Pemberton. They do a show on BBC called Inside Number 9, and it's lots of different kinds of stories, and they're often very creepy. But they did a similar type of as live thing a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they even tied it up with tweeting out things from Reece Shearsmith's account that matched up with what was going on in the show at the time to try and trick people into thinking that it was really happening.
Right.
Which is very clever. So, I mean, I would love to see what someone could do now.
Could they do this now? Because I fell for the Blair Witch stuff.
Okay.
When Blair Witch came out, and it was at the very beginning of the internet as well.
So not far away from Ghostwatch then.
A couple of years after, definitely. Yeah. But the internet had just started to become a thing. And there was this thing where you went onto their website and then you were told a story about the Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And you were told that some video cassettes had been found underneath the foundations of a house. And it was being turned into a movie. I'm getting prickles up and down my spine again. And that was what was the Blair Witch was going to be. I fell hook, line, and sinker for that. It scared me. It worried me. I didn't want to go see the movie, and people were talking about it. And it was one of them moments in my life when, a bit like when one of the kids in mathematics said, he was teasing me about, it was when I was still learning about the body, and he said something about a penis, and do you have a penis? And I went, yes. And then he started laughing. And then I got confused as to whether I had a penis or not. He was laughing.
Oh, and still to this day.
Yeah. And I remember saying, well, yeah. And then he went, well, no boys have a penis. I was like, I'm so confused now. Okay, I don't have a penis. And then they started laughing even more. And I was I hate going to an all-boys school.
You're like Schrodinger's penis. Like, do I have one? Do I not have one?
I don't know what. But once again, showing how gullible I can be.
Yeah. So this genre of stuff is not good for you at all then, is it?
Not really, no.
You've had a few decades of all this, you know, found footage stuff. No wonder you don't want to watch any horror films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but could they do this now? Would it be too obvious that they're trying to do this? Because we have had the Yvette Fielding and I can't remember the name of the guy doing the most haunted type TV show. But if they did like a live broadcast, could they do this again? Would they be able to pull it off? And would they be able to create such a furore around it?
Well, Most Haunted did for 3 or 4 years put on at Halloween a live show that was a couple of hours long doing sort of similar things. I guess lots of people did believe it. I think they've been debunked since as faking most if not all of the things that they've seen. So certainly there would be people who would believe things still. Could you do it on that scale? I don't think so. I mean, for a start, people don't watch TV the same way.
True.
I mean, that really what, like we were saying at the beginning of this thing, that was really the key to this, is the way media was consumed. You know, you've got 4 channels, that's it. This is what's on Saturday night. No one else, you know, no one's doing anything. Everyone's in front of the TV.
I'll tell you how it could be done.
Go on.
If, now Netflix, you have to buy this idea off of me. If they turned around, at a streaming service turned around and said, for one night only, they would be able to do that.
What? Do you mean like
gave something out for free. How do you mean, for one night only?
It'll be for one night only between 9 and 11 at night.
Oh, I see. Yeah, oh, yeah, we've made this. Well, this show's going to be on at this time. That's it.
And it will be streamed, yes.
Yeah.
And it'll be this night only. Or they would just actually go live if Netflix had the ability just to go live. Or
they must be able to.
Well, yeah, of course they could. But they would be able to do that, and then you would get bums on seats to watch it. But then you would have to do a British version, an American version, because you know what's going to happen. Then pesky Americans would spoil everything for us, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, of course. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
To ruin everything.
So it is possible.
I think the only way you'd do it is if... you'd have to really downplay it. I don't think you could hype it. But then you wouldn't get the audience.
You could sow little seeds throughout the whole year leading up to this. You could start this in January and have, because sometimes they do the adverts for other programs on Amazon and Disney Plus and Netflix.
Yeah.
So why couldn't they just have a flash of something, a card or something that would be related to that, and people be like, oh, okay, what's going on?
I guess. No,
and then you start building up using the internet and doing all the lost J.J. Abrams type thing where they had multiple websites and picking up clues, which all builds up to a night that you all join in on.
Yeah, I mean, if you had like a series that did some live things, investigations of whatever, and the first sort of three or four shows were not related to anything paranormal at all.
Yes.
And then on the last, on the fifth one,
yeah,
you did your thing.
Yeah, you sucker them in.
Yeah.
Sucker them in, and then all of a sudden, oh no, this was all just a hoax, and we're just going to screw with you.
Yeah. This we've done 5 weeks worth of programming just to ruin you on this one, the next one.
But it would work. People would get into it, though, wouldn't they?
But again, you'd have to, how would you show it? Because you'd need to be on like BBC or a two-air channel. You wouldn't be able to do it on subscription services.
Yeah, and immediately after that's happened, it would be ruined for everyone. People love to spoil this sort of stuff.
Yes.
They love to ruin it for other people. By the way, spoilers for this episode. But
we said that. I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't know. I can't remember.
We'll have to do a little thing before we close it off.
Okay, I'm going to say yeah, we're going to, but we probably won't.
Okay, cool. Yeah, spoilers. Watch this. Watch Ghost Watch before you listen to this podcast.
Oh no, you did say that at the beginning, didn't you?
Did we?
Okay, yeah. Oh, yes, you excellent. Did. Yeah, yeah.
Well done, us.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, Past Elton is happy that we did this. Is there anything else?
Cut that out from the start and just shove it on the end.
No, that means work.
True.
Is there anything else that you want to bring to the table that you don't think that we have? Because I feel that we've covered everything.
Yeah.
I'm still not too sure what happened to Sarah Green, but I don't think we were supposed to know what happened to Sarah Green.
No.
And Michael Parkinson as well. It just
he
all
was
kicks
just
off
blundering
there, doesn't
around,
it?
Wasn't he?
Well, he's possessed, isn't he?
Something like that.
He is possessed by Mr. Pipes. It's a whole seance and he's wandering around going, oh... The lights are off. The lights are off.
And yeah, because then the auto cue's working, isn't it? And then he starts reading it.
Yeah. In like a possessed... Oh, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm just looking through my notes. There's not much. I didn't enjoy the old technology, cables everywhere and things.
That adds to it, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's a period piece. It's fine.
Well, yeah, when the cameraman's running up and down... Up the stairs and down the stairs. And...
the girls chasing behind him trying to pick up the cables. Yeah. I thought that was good. Because then, again, just these tiny little insignificant nothings that anchor you into this is actually happening. It's a thing. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. I think that the big cameras they're not too cumbersome that they can't use them, but they're cumbersome enough that they can't quite fit into that corner just yet. So it's slightly in your face and in a wrong angle, but yeah.
And the speed of turning, like you said before, you know, it pans across past something, but you can't get it back quick enough.
Yeah.
That whereas gives the guy a chance to duck.
Yeah, nowadays it's on a phone, isn't it? And so it's all very lightweight. It's just your movement.
But that depends on whether they're using portrait or landscape, though, doesn't it?
Don't even go there. we don't discuss that. That doesn't happen.
Sensible, good filmmakers will have it in landscape.
Of course. What? Yes, of course.
Yeah. No, that's the right way.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a moment. I had to get the map. Think, yes. No, yes.
The only other note I've got written down that I can see that I haven't already mentioned is I did enjoy the opening bit when they've got the sort of the BBC trucks and the guys are rolling cables into it and the shutters are coming up and it looks like, you know, it's a fire station and they're rushing off to somewhere.
And
everything's happening. And then it just cuts to this shot of like these two fat blokes, fat old blokes getting out of it, not moving very fast, climbing in with their sort of, you know, Clark shoes.
Yep.
That was very, very 90s BBC. I enjoyed that a lot.
Definitely. I think that is it. I haven't got any other notes on this, so...
We blundered our way through.
Oh, no, we've had fun doing it, though. Yeah, I don't care.
You cannot get across in words just how brilliant this show is.
How important it is as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amount of people that will have seen it and been influenced to do and create other things.
Yeah, and in 1992, I was scared... And in 2021, I was still scared about this as well.
Yeah.
It still had that moment where I had to pause it and give myself a break and come back to it in a minute. And I know on the Internet Archive, the footage isn't great, especially when you're moving. It's quick movements. It goes very blocky. But
yeah,
I quite like that because that is... That's saying it's old, but it's of my time as well.
Yeah. Well, I watched the DVD, so I didn't have that.
Did you have any extras on that at all?
Nope, nothing.
Oh.
There is they made a documentary of it about how it was made and speaking to lots of people about 10 years later.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's called, but I'll have to see if I can find it somewhere.
Is that the behind the curtain thing?
Could be. I'll have to have a look at that. One other thing that just occurred to me that I did read in the aftermath of it. The woman who played the parapsychologist.
Yes.
She was saying that the next day she got an answer phone message from Judy Dench, who said that she'd ruined her evening because she had worked with her on stage earlier in the year, so knew that it was fake.
Oh, right, okay.
She's like, you ruined it by being on this show. That did make me laugh.
So everyone in the country was scared apart from...
Yeah, from Judy Dench.
From Judy Dench.
But, I mean, watching it again, I was, like you say, I'd not seen this since 1992, since I was 12 years old. Almost, you know, 30 years later, I thought, is this going to be as good as you remember it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably better because it's still freaky and weird and creepy. But also, you're an adult now, so you can see how everything fits together. And you've had 30 years worth of watching stuff.
Yeah.
And to know just how good a production and the writing and the general making of everything was.
Yeah, I want to show my kids this. I know they don't really want to see it, but... I think it's important to see it.
Yeah.
Just because of what it is and where films come from as well. I'm not saying all films have copied this and this is like the holy grail of handheld found footage type movies. But it kind of is.
But it really is.
it really is.
I mean, every time you read, you know, if you read through the Wikipedia or read any articles about it, and you realize, like, just how far it went, because it's been shown a lot in America.
Right.
Just not here. It really, really is that important in a way you don't realize, because unless you're into this kind of thing, you've probably not heard of it.
Yeah, I'd love them to do either like a revisit or anything like that. Yeah. Mike Smith's not with us anymore, though, is he?
No.
I'm not too sure if anyone else is or not, but...
Michael Parkinson died?
No, he's still around. Is he? He's still 50.
Oh, of course. He's always been 50.
Yeah.
How did I not realise? Yeah, trying to Google it. That's the thing, isn't it? It's not a Shonky Lab unless you Google something.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I think we should draw it to a close, because now we are gabbling.
He's still going.
Yeah, I said that. I'm sure I said that. Did I communicate that to you?
I'm just
sure
checking the wiki. He is 50 years old. Can't argue with Wikipedia.
No, nope. Says he's 50, so that's it. And in 1992, when he made this, he was 50 years old as well. Anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking me through this. It's been years since I've seen this. I really enjoyed watching it. I might make this a regular thing around Halloween, because the more I watch it, the more I'll get used to it, and the more I won't get scared of it, but the more I will see little things in the background as well.
I am thinking, do I want to get a few mates of mine who I know won't have seen this and watch it again on Sunday?
It might be worth it.
What do you say if you've got, you know, younger people who not seen it, won't have experienced, you know, that period of history, certainly in a very different way. Would you just say to them, this went out as real?
Yes, no, that's what you say to them. You turn around and say, did you ever see what happened in 1992 on live TV? No? Okay.
All right, you just lie. Okay, I see.
I've got a copy of it. Would you like to see it? Okay. Yeah. And then watch their face. What, this is live? Yeah, this happened. Oh,
I need to burn it onto like another DVD, don't I? And cut out the bit at the start with the ident. Just have it flicker in. Oh, good times. Get someone to do that.
Cool. Right. Have you anything else on the internet that you would like to plug?
No, don't think so. Did a Shonky Lab recently, archaeology, that was good. There's been a couple more since. Listen to that, I guess.
Cool. And this is going to be going out around Halloween time, so we hope you are enjoying your Halloween. Please don't knock on my door, because I won't be answering the door.
Watch Ghost Watch. There's still time left and you haven't watched it already, go and watch it.
Definitely. Or save this episode for next year.
Yes.
Which will be the 30th episode, 30th year episode anniversary.
All those words put in the right order.
And some of them were wrong words as well. So substitute them wrong words for correct words. Create your own sentence. It's like the magnets on the fridge. Create your own sentence. Something about me doing podcasts all over the internet. Black Dog, Shonky Lab, Grand Prix Podcast, Rogue 2 Media, friends, emails, Patreon, send us ideas as well, and we'll leave it there. So thank you very much, and this is the end bit. I do the end bit.
Go on, you can do it.
Are you sure?
Fingers on lips.
Please leave quietly. This is definitely a residential area.